Hello, everybody. This is Paul Neeson with Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening to the program today. We are going to be speaking about a topic that many people need to understand in the church if they really want to understand Yeshua HaMessiah, the one you call Jesus. The name of my ministry is Torah Life Ministries, and Torah is the first five books of the Bible, starting in Genesis. And the system of Christianity today teaches that the Bible begins in the Renewed Covenant, which is pretty much Matthew. And when you do that, you're missing a whole set of the scriptures. You're missing the whole beginning of the Bible. And it's a complete book. And people often ask me what translation of the Bible is the best translation or the most accurate translation. And my answer would be a translation that includes it all. And if you really want a good translation, you got to take out a page in the Bible that's really confusing a lot of people. And that's the page that separates the original covenant from the new covenant, or the Old Testament from the New Testament. You see, the Bible is one book. It's not two books. And it's a story that was told from the beginning of time all the way to the end in Revelation. It's a history book about his story, the story of Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you call Jesus. And it speaks about who he was, why he came, what he did, and what he did and what he wants to do for us. And the original time he came, as it says, is he came to set sinners free. He came for sinners. He came to set us free from death row that we were on, that we didn't deserve him, but we were set free. Praise Yahweh. Thanks our Creator that he came and gave us him, shed his blood for us, so we could be set free from something we could never have been set free from before, from this temple sacrifice that might be able to cleanse us but not set us free the way the blood of Messiah has set us free. So that's what the goal was. And it says in the scriptures that he's coming back again, but this time he's not coming back for sinners. He's coming back for those who repented and those who are following him, his followers. Hallelujah. So as we see the story of creation and the story of salvation in the scriptures, and as I hear many people in the system of Christianity teaching or attempting to teach what's in the scriptures, I see a difference there. So today on the program, I want to clear up that difference. I do want to say that I'm located in South Florida, and anyone can join us every Sabbath we meet. And we also meet online quite often. The website is TorahLifeMinistries.org, and that's how you could find us. So we want to look today at the word law. And we want to get a clearer understanding of what the word law means. I mean, after all, if you're traveling down the highway and you're going faster than you should be going, you're technically breaking the law. And a police officer has every right to come up behind you, pull you over, and give you the consequences for breaking the law. And you've made a decision when you purchased your car and you got a driver's license and you decided you were going to go on that road that you were going to follow the law. So you went on that highway and you saw a sign that said do not go beyond 65 miles an hour. So you agreed to that when you went on that highway. When you signed up for your license, you were agreeing to the motor vehicle laws and guidelines of what you should be doing. So here you are on the highway, you're going faster than you should be going, the police officer pulls you over, you're on the side of the highway, and he pulls you over, comes to your car, he asks for your license and registration. Now you know you're in hot water here because you know you were guilty. He even has it on his dashboard cam that you were speeding, you broke the law. And he walks back to his car, and he's writing up your ticket. And you're in the front seat doing what you're doing, hopefully praying and repenting, but whatever you're doing, regardless of what you're doing. So here you are, and then next thing you know, the police officer comes up to your car and he says, you know what, you can go now. And you say, well, where's my ticket? And the officer says, well, you're not going to get a ticket. And you say, why not? And he goes, because somebody pulled up behind me while I was writing your ticket. And they said, you know what, I was speeding. I wasn't even speeding, but, you know, I want to take that ticket that person that you're writing that ticket for that other person. And a police officer in disbelief says, you're telling me this ticket that I'm about to write for that person that I caught speeding, you're coming behind me and you want me to write this ticket for you instead of that person, and you want that other person to go free? And that's exactly what happens. And the person says, yeah. So the police officer is not sure what's going on, but he says, okay, if that's what you want, I got to write a ticket for somebody because I pulled somebody over. I got to meet my ticket status quo. And considering, you know, I'm still going to write a ticket, so I'm still going to meet my status quo for tickets. I'm game. I'll do it. So you're set free. But now right before you're set free, the officer writes the other person a ticket. You get a knock on the window on the other side of the car. And the door opens up. You open up the window and you say, can I help you? He said, yes, I'm the person that took that ticket for you. And you say, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for doing that. I really appreciate it. You saved me. You helped me a lot so much. And that person says, you know what? All I ask of you is this. And he hands you a little booklet, maybe 5 pages. And he says, please, in the future, when you're on this highway or any highway, please obey the signs, because, and then he gives you the serious consequences that could happen, whether you're not wearing a seatbelt, whether you're going faster than you should be going, and something that could happen. Maybe he tells you a story about something that did happen. He goes, please, just take this booklet. It's 5 pages. And just in the future, just obey this booklet. And if you do this, you'll never have any issues again with the police. But if you don't do this, the next time they pull you over, they're going to give you a fine double than what you just got. If you even survive, because you might get in a car accident and you might not even survive. So you take that book, you say, thank you very much. Now, what are you going to do with that book? Are you going to look at it and study it and just think about it and maybe even go and tell other people what happened? Hey, today I was on a highway and somebody pulled me over, and you tell the story and then you show the book. And then you follow the book. Let's say you start following the book and all is well and everything's good. And it's not that difficult to follow the book. It's pretty much the same thing the signs on the road say. Don't speed. Don't do this. Don't do that. But what if you didn't listen? What if you didn't look at the book? You said, oh, look, I hear what you're saying. I appreciate you taking that ticket for me, but I'm in a hurry. I got to go. And just give me the book. You take the book. You throw it in your back seat and you drive away and you keep speeding. And you completely ignore what this fellow did for you. And then you're driving down the road. And then you know, you get stopped again. And this time nobody's going to come for you. And you get a ticket for double the amount. You know, and then you regret, I should have looked at that book. So basically, that's what happened on such a smaller level of what a Messiah has done for us. We've been given a law that is called the law, but it's the guidelines and instructions of the will of our Father, a book with that information. And basically, we were sinners, lawbreakers. We were evil, wicked people from the beginning of our lives, thanks to Adam, a man who sinned, and his sin carried through to us. So we have this evil, wicked desire, which we can call our flesh. And we just desire to fulfill our flesh, whether it's growing up as a teenager and going to get drunk, whether it's fornicating or any other thing we might have excused because of our young age or something. Then now we might look at our kids and say, don't do that. That doesn't make sense, but we've already done it, and we still have the desire to do these things because we live in the flesh. But so we deserve it. And then one day we do something that's really stupid, and we get thrown in jail. And then we get we go to court and we're found guilty, and we're in hot water here. Now we're on. Not only are we in jail, but they put us on death row, and here we are standing on death row, waiting, you know, for the court just to say it's time for your execution, and each day it's getting closer, and then we're like, how do we ever get into this mess, and how are we going to get out of this mess? What are we going to do? And then, again, the police officer comes to your cell. You think this is it. You think this is the day that they're going to execute you. The electric chair is getting ready. And say your goodbyes. You write your letters of goodbye. You think this is the day. Then next thing you know, they walk you past the electric room or the chair. And they walk you towards the exit of the jail. No court, no trial, anything. They just walk you right towards the exit of the jail. And they say, you're free to go. And you say, well, what do you mean I'm free to go? I mean, I'm expecting to be executed. What do you mean I'm free to go? I mean, you're happy about it, but You don't just want to run. You want to find out, well, what are you talking about? Am I still going to have a record? Are the police going to be after me, chasing me? Or am I literally free to go? And they say, well, the judge said somebody had to pay, somebody had to be executed for your crime that you committed. And the judge wanted it to be you, but somebody else came to take your place. And the judge said, okay, if they're willing to take his place, somebody has to be executed here. Let them take their place. And that person took your place, and that person was about to be executed. And you say, you know what, before I go, can I see that person? And you go meet that person. That person says, you know what, you just go, and I'm going to take your place here. And you say, why? Well, why would you do something like that? Why would you give up your life for me? And he says, you know what, I want to give you another chance at life. And before I give you this other chance at life, I want to give you a gift that's going to help you stay out of this jail, that's going to help you stay away from death row. But you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to deny your flesh, and you're going to have to start living a different life. And you say, well, what am I supposed to do? My flesh is all I know. I grew up in this flesh, and it's all I know how to please. And what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to live? And he gives you a book. And he says, this book has all the instructions of your life, of what you should live, how you should do, all the decisions you should make in any situation. And if you follow this book, you'll be blessed more than you could ever imagine. And you say, well, of course I'm going to follow this book, and blessed more than I can imagine. And so he gives you the book, and then he does the ultimate thing. He takes your penalty, and he's put to death for you. Now you have this book. Are you going to put that book on some shelf in your house and never look at it and never open it up? Or are you going to open up that book and look at it? Are you going to take this book and are you going to look at it on a regular basis and look at it often? Or are you going to just not look at this book at all? Well, you want to look at this book on a regular basis. You want to take this book and you want to study this book and you want to learn all about this book. But this book also tells you about this person, why he set himself free for you, and why he set yourself free for him. And it's a history book of him with the instructions of how he wanted you to live. And that book is the Bible, the Holy Bible. And you need to ask yourself, if you're listening to this right now, how often do you read your Bible? That's the question you need to ask yourself. How often do you read your Bible? And how often do you desire to read it? Do you think about it at nighttime when you're not reading it? Do you desire to go out there and tell other people what this amazing book says? Just like the example with the traffic stop, do you desire to go out there and tell people that you've been pulled over and what happened, and you show people that little booklet so they're safe when they're driving as well? Well, this is pretty much what we get in the story of the Bible and everything else. And going back to the law and the breaking of the law and the man-made law, well, we have a man-made law which still should be followed, because the man-made law, the law of the land, the guidelines and instructions of our government are usually there to keep us safe. That's why they're there, to keep us safe. We don't want to break the laws of man, as long as they go along with the laws of our Creator. But the law of our Creator, or the law, that's a very, very bad word to use, because that gives the idea of it being on the same level as a man-made law. And what the real word in the Bible was for law was Torah, which means the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So now, instead of the person saying, well, I'm going to set you free, but here are the guidelines, instead of saying, here's the law you need to follow, they say, here's the guidelines and instructions, or the will of our Father that you should be following from now on. And he gives him this guidelines and instructions, or this will to follow, known as the Torah, or you could say the guidelines and instructions. And then let's say this man, before, when he set you free from jail, let's say he was on probation. Before he went to the death chair, he was on probation. And he went out into the world to set more people free and tell more people certain things. So he goes to a group of people called the sages and the Pharisees, and he says to them, you guys are teaching a law that's different than the law of my Father. That's different than this book, than this Bible. So he's not saying to do away with the law. He's saying that they're teaching a law that's different. And he's asking them and everyone to repent from this man-made law that's not a righteous law because it's different. You see, we're supposed to follow the laws of our Creator if they go along to some degree or to exact degree with the laws of our land. Like, we're not to break the law of our Creator to please the law of our land. We're not to do that. So if the law of our Creator says, you know, do this, and the land says, don't do that, well, we got to listen to our Creator. We have to. So this man that's dying for people, he says, he goes up to this group and he says, you're teaching something that's contradictory to the law of this book or the guidelines and instructions of this book. He says, I'm all favor for not speeding down the highway, but you're adding to it by saying blah, 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 whatever. So tell people not to speed down the highway, but don't tell them and add this extra stuff to it. Just tell them this. You don't need to add or take away. You just need to tell people to keep these guidelines and instructions. And so now you get a group of people. So now the fellow goes, after he gives this book, he ends up dying, being executed, and so on. But now you have a group of people years later saying that this man was telling people they didn't need to keep no law. They didn't need to follow any guidelines and instructions. That he set them free and they could live any way they wanted to live. They could do whatever they wanted to do. And whatever pleased them, whatever pleased their flesh was fine. No. You know, he didn't come to say, well, you don't have to follow the guidelines and instructions. You know, they're leaving out of the story this whole book and the whole part of the book. And so that was the issue that Yeshua, the one you called Jesus, our Messiah, had with the men at that time. You know, they were adding to the law. They were adding to these guidelines and instructions. And today he has a problem with them because today they're taking away. Because back then they said you had to do more than you should be doing. But today they're saying you don't have to do anything. So the system of Judaism says you have to do more, and the system of Christianity says you have to do less. But the Bible says don't add or take away, but keep my commandments, my guidelines and instructions. And he never said the law was done away with. So now that leads to the next part, because in the scriptures, and I read the Bible every single day live on my website, TorahLifeMinistries.org. And when we read books like Romans, and you read in the Bible where it says, Yeshua our Messiah came away to do with the law. That's what the Bible often says. He came away to do with the law. But if you get a good, accurate translation of the scriptures, what it does speak about is the law that he came to do away with was the man-made law. Yes, that's true. The laws that man was adding. That's why Yeshua had a problem. For example, the Sabbath. He didn't say you don't keep the Sabbath. He said you're keeping it wrong. You're adding. You're telling people they need to do things they shouldn't be doing. What Yeshua, our Messiah, the one you called Jesus, really came to do away with was, and an accurate translation will have this word, it is the penalty of the law. The penalty of the law. So if you're doing something that you shouldn't be doing and the consequence is death, let's say. So let's say the Bible says, if you do this, let's use an example of homosexuality. Let's use that example. The Bible says, if you commit homosexuality, you should be put to death. That's what it says. Wow. And that's from our Creator. Wow. It's just not natural for a man and a man to have sexual relations or a woman and a woman to have sexual relations. And death is the result. You're like, wow, that's pretty steep. But no, we're not here to question if it's right or wrong. Like I said, that's what our Creator says. So let's say I feel that I have a tendency to be homosexual and I am homosexual. Well, this man that set us free, he didn't say it was okay to be a homosexual. He didn't do away with that law or that guideline instructions that said you shouldn't be following this. What he did away with when he gave us another chance, when he set us free, he didn't let us leave the jail and say, go and live the way you want. He said, no, go and sin no more. Sin is transgression of the law of our Creator, of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. So when we were set free, what he set us free from was not the law, was not the instruction. He set us free from the penalty of the law. From the penalty, from the death penalty. So what that did was give us another chance to get it right. But if we continue to break the law, we're no longer going to be set free from that penalty. That's what he was explaining. So we've been set free from the penalty of the law. And not only have we been set free, before we leave, he gives us a card. And you know in a game Monopoly, they have a get-out-of-jail-free card? He gives us a card. And the card says, if your desire is to study this book and to follow these guidelines, but by accident, you know, you made a mistake and you messed up and you show remorse, you can still use this get-out-of-jail card free. And that card is called a grace card or a mercy card. And we can use it. But, you know, but we get one shot at using that mercy card. We say, okay, you know, I got out of jail and I was set free from death row. I was set free from the penalty of the law. I was doing great, but I had a weak moment. I messed up and I really regret it. I repent. I want to turn my ways. I'm back here on death row again. And, you know, I don't know what I'm going to do this time. Wait a second. I reach in my pocket and I got this grace card. This card that's going to let me be free again. And so you have this card and you look at the card, and on the card it says, there's a dotted line right in the middle of the card. It says you may cut this card in half and you may use it twice. So you cut the card in half, you give one of it, you use it, you're like, whew, that was a close one, but you're set free again. But then what happens is let's say a year later, you fall back into sin and you mess up again. Like, well, I remember I got this card. And you're set free again. So now that you're set free again, but your heart is even hating it even more that you're even back in this situation. And you're like, I got to get this right. Not only do I feel bad about this, not only do I agree this is wrong, but I got no more cards. So I got to get this right. Well, that's called repentiveness, turning, and remorse. And our Creator, you pray out to Him and He helps you. However, that card only has a certain amount of free passes on it. Eventually, there's going to be no grace or mercy for your sin. And time's running out. So you keep, if you're truly remorse and you have this card for those times you mess up, great. But if you use that card and you say, oh, I don't care, I can go live in any way I want because I'm not going to go to jail because I got this card, this get out of jail free card, and it has more than once I could use it. And I'm going to live and take advantage of this card and live however I want. And you know what? I don't need to follow any guidelines and structure, but this card is going to set me free. And if you start making a mockery out of this man that died for you, and you start using this card saying, oh, I can get out of jail anytime I want. I even figured out a way to counterfeit this card, and I could duplicate it so I can continually live in sin, and every single time I'll get out because he died for me, so I'm going to get out all the time. That's not the way it works. That's not the way it works. Because what's going to happen is one time you're going to go to use that card, and he's going to say, well, you know what? That card is no longer valid. You said, what do you mean it's not valid? It's this card that I have. He said, no, that card is only valid if your heart has been changed. And your heart hasn't been changed. How do you know that? Because if your heart has been changed, you wouldn't be making a practice out of living in sin. You would desire not to live for it. You'd desire to live against it. And you say, well, I don't even know what sin is. Well, sin is transgression of the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Well, you say, well, I don't even know what that is. What are you talking about? And then the final answer is, well, if you would have read the book, you would know. You're gone. It's over. You're done. If you would have read the book, you would understand and you would know. If you would have read the book, in the book, in the back of the book, if you would have read the book, right in the back of the book, when you read the book on a certain page, and I'm not going to tell you what page it was on, but if you would have read the book, there was a card there. A get out of jail free card that could be used 100% of the time that you could have used it. It's called repentance. It's called true repentance. And you could have used it 100% of the time. But you didn't read the book. So you not only don't understand what sin is, transgression of the law, because you don't even know what the law is, but you don't understand what repentance is. And you don't understand what repentance is. You didn't read the book. The book wasn't important to you. What this man did dying for you wasn't important to you. You made a mockery out of that. You continued to use his death as an excuse to continue to live in sin. Well, now, because you didn't read the book, you don't have the instructions, you made a mockery out of this man's life, you have no get-out-of-jail-free card anymore, the judge says, I can't help you. You're going to die. I can't help you. You don't have any more lives left. You don't have any more chances left. It's done. It's over. And you're thinking, sitting there on death row, why didn't I just read that book? You certainly had the time. You did a lot of other things. You had time to sin, so you should have had time to read the book. But you didn't. You said, why didn't I read that whole book to find it? Why didn't I read it? Well, maybe if you would have been told beforehand, you know what? In this book, in one of these pages, in one of these words in this book, there's the key or the get out of jail free 100% of the time card. Maybe that would have led you to read the book. Maybe that would have motivated you to give you a desire to read the book. Or something else. So even then, you still didn't read the book. And I'm here telling you, we have that book, and that book is the Bible. And that book tells us how to get that card, get out of jail free 100% of the time. And we're not just talking about the physical death. We're talking about the spiritual death versus the spiritual life of eternity that we can have with our Creator when we use that card 100% of the time, and that card is called repentance. And repentance can only happen if you know what the Torah is and what the law is, to know if you're a sinner and to know what sin is and to know how not to break it and what to do and so on. And all that information is found in the Bible. And I will submit to you that most Christians today are not taught or trained to read the Bible. And other than Sundays, they're not even opening their Bible. They don't know what the commandments are, so how could they know what sin is? They don't know what repentance is because they don't know what sin is. They are not taking advantage of this amazing gift. They're making a mockery of it, and they're setting themselves up for disaster. But you all have the opportunity right now to repent, return. We still have time left to open up that book and read the book. And I'm calling you as brothers and sisters in Yeshua to get in the Bible every day. Every day, read the Bible. Read the book. So that's my message to you. And that's my message to everyone. So please share this message with everyone. Let's get this information out there so people know before it's too late that we need to read the book. We need to get in the Bible every single day. We need to pray. We need to proclaim. We need to praise. We need to read. And we need to repent on a daily basis. So thank you very much for listening today, and have a great day, and shalom.